Today, we will read Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 36. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, help us to hear your word. Help us to understand it, and that you would grow us and teach us and make us more like you. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 36. Once, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him, and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud, saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. All right. In today's reading, it begins with Jesus asking a question. "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples answered that there are many different answers. Some people believe that Jesus is John the Baptist. Others say Elijah or another prophet. But Peter recognizes the truth that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who has been promised, the one that they are waiting for. The problem is, even though they do understand that Jesus is the Messiah, they still don't understand or really know what that means. They don't get why Jesus is there. And so, Jesus warns them and says, "Don't tell anyone yet," and explains why. Because the Son of Man, now what does that word mean, the Son of Man? Well, that was a title or a name given to the Messiah. That Jesus, as the Messiah, is the Son of God, everything that God is in human form. But he is also the Son of Man. He is, in his body, completely human. He is the everything that humans should be. But he's perfect, never once committing a sin. And so one of the titles is Son of Man. And this was one of the prophecies where people in the Old Testament had said he would come. One of them had called him the Son of Man. And so he explains that as the Messiah, he must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. You see, Jesus knows exactly what's coming. He knows what's going to happen, and he knows what God really promised in the Messiah. The disciples were expecting the Messiah to be a king. Many of them had thought, oh, the Messiah will come. He will rescue us from the Romans and establish the Jewish state, that there would be a kingdom again. But instead, Jesus came for spiritual purposes. And so, once they realize who he is, he begins to teach them what his purpose is. That yes, he is the promised one, but God's promises go beyond simply establishing a political kingdom. God's promises are eternal, and God wants to set up the kingdom of God. That is God's way. And so, Jesus did not come to be an earthly king, but instead he came to be the sacrifice for our sins, to give himself. And even now he knows that, and he teaches the disciples that this will take place. So, he tells them that he's going to have to be killed, suffer, and die. And then he explains what he expects of them. That if they want to be his disciple, if they want to be his follower, that they are going to have to give up themselves, suffer, and die along with him. That every day they must take up their cross and follow him. Now, what does it mean to take up their cross daily? Well, for us today, this means that we sacrifice ourselves. We no longer serve ourselves, but God. I die to myself, that my flesh, my human nature, wants certain things. But every day, I say, no, that part of me must die, so that Jesus can live in me. I die to my desires so that I can live to the desires of Christ. Now it's interesting that Jesus talks about whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. That as we give up ourselves, some people even dying, we are giving it up for Jesus. And it is so much better than the alternative. If I lose the things that I want for Christ, I gain the good things that God wants for me through Christ. And it's a much better exchange. I win. And it's better for me, and God just uses me in great ways. What good is it if I save my physical life, if I gain the whole world, if I get great riches and fame and glory, but I lose my soul, my very core nature and being? If I lose my soul, what good is all this other stuff? And so, Jesus is saying that we must be willing to let go of the things that we want to go after God, but that God is so much more valuable than anything we could begin to want here. Now, in order to show them more about what he meant by this, he took three of them onto the mountain, and they were able to see him. We call this transfigured, transformed. Something about his appearance changed, and they began to see a little bit beyond the physical surface. They began to see Jesus in his glory, that his face changed, his clothes were brighter than lightning. And so suddenly they see him in a different way, that he is not limited to his human form, but he is God come to live as a man. And they see this and they're amazed. And so they also hear the voice of God saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." And so they are challenged to listen and obey and follow Jesus again. But this experience confirms for them that Jesus is someone special. He's not a normal person. And they begin to see his nature, his true nature, that he is God who has come to live among us. As I look back at this reading today and think about what does this mean to me, I first remember to put Jesus first, that I must die to myself, take up my cross, and follow Jesus. I have to let go of my selfish desires, my selfish ambitions, and follow Jesus. Put him first, because nothing else is as important. Nothing else matters. Lord, help us to die to ourselves so that we can live for you. Help us to let go of the things that hold us back from you and run to you, to live and abide in you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.